Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, coming in here hot on Diamond Conversations for another week here on the Place to Be Nation podcasting network. Not going to do a really long introduction today because the topic at hand is just about as much I think we could talk about today. There's nothing more for me to add, but I want to just absolutely put over my guest today, senior content producer for Radio.com Sports, a good longtime friend of mine, John Healy, joining me today to talk about the baseball scandals, the baseball saga that is going on, what in the world is happening to this wonderful game. Going a little topical, a little bit off the beaten path, if you will, so far for the episodes we've put out here on Place to Be Nation, but I want to get right into it. I don't want to beat around the bush. I just want to give you a couple of the plugs. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at ChadENB. If you want to follow the show, it's at DiamondConvo. And if you're on Facebook, you want to follow the page, give it a like. It is Diamond Conversations Baseball Podcast. Come join us. I want to get into it. Like I said, let's just go in crazy. Let's slide into home plate. Let's steal home, if you will, right now, and get into this today here with my good friend John Healy on the Place to Be Nation. Very casually joining me on the line today here on Diamond Conversations is somebody who I legit have probably known since he was either a baby or maybe 2 or 3 years old, but I won't hold any of those stories against him as he joins me today as a senior content producer for Radio.com Sports. He's formerly of SNY, formerly of Bleacher Report and the New York Daily News. Very happy to have my longtime personal close friend, John Healy, joining me today here on Diamond Conversations. I got some dirt on you, my friend. I'm not going to pull it out this week, though.
Yeah, I have no idea what that could be. So,
no, you're always a good kid. But just, you know, knowing you since you were very little, there's one thing that I know your family, you know, my family always had in common, and that's a love of the game of baseball. And we're going to talk a little baseball today. Is there anything going on in the baseball world going presently?
Yeah, I feel like I don't know if there's ever been a January where baseball has dominated the headlines and, you know, sports story of the month.
Not in this way. I mean, especially this close to the Super Bowl. I mean, maybe you have a free agent signing that could impact a little bit. But this is just this last week has been actually not even a full week. It's just taken on a life of its own. But obviously, if you've been under a rock, you know, the Astros cheating scandal, all the firings and all the dismissals going on, more and more seems to be coming out. More and more seems to be shared on a daily basis on social media. What's kind of your take on this this crazy week with all the repercussions that have gone on throughout the game?
Yeah, it's kind of the whole thing's kind of just gone off the rails. I mean, you have that whole Carlos Beltran's niece, who's not really her niece, and people seem to like be thinking this whoever this person is like leaking like legitimate information. Now you got like the video evidence to kind of back it up, and it's just like a minefield of like conspiracy theories. So it's like it's kind of hard to separate like fact from fiction right now in all of this. So it's like kind of hard to grasp what's real, what's not. I feel like people want to think the whole, you know, buzzer stuff with the Astros and, you know, I feel like people want to think that's real because they stopped using the trash cans at some point in 2018. And when you stop using the trash cans, that doesn't mean you stopped stealing the signs. It means you probably found a more effective way to do it. But it's just hard to, like, figure out, like, what's true and what's not right now.
Yeah, and it's crazy. So the investigation started in November, but for the past few years we've heard the murmurs throughout the game that, you know, there's definitely something going on, you know, outside of the regular gamesmanship, you know, that may occur throughout the game. And my guest last week was talking about, even on the college level, you know, ways you can kind of interpret other signs throughout the game and, you know, little telltale signs and things like that. But, you know, the banging of the trash cans, the whistling, now the buzzers, and, you know, all these other little things that are they're popping up. I mean, I might come from the wrestling world, but it seems like this is a storyline that's directly out of a movie or a pro wrestling or something, because it seems like it's almost too far-fetched to be true. And it seems like every day, like you said, yeah, a possible, quote, niece of Carlos Beltran, which we're pretty much going to just all say it's not true. But every single day, there's some new little facet of this drama that's unfolding. And it's like, is this baseball or is this the movies or is this wrestling or is this a soap opera?
I know. And it's, I feel like people are kind of comparing the MLB right now to the NBA, where, you know, basketball is like every day is kind of like, it's more of a soap opera than like a sports league. And now like kind of baseball has kind of taken on that identity, at least in the past week. And, you know, as crazy as it may sound, it might even like be a good thing for baseball, because I feel like now people are like amped up for like this next season, like what's going to happen next.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I was talking to my brother, Doug, who obviously, you know, very well. And we were just kind of saying the same exact thing, but more in terms of the players. I've never seen a baseball active player union going on here, where guys are really kind of banding together and ripping apart the Astros. I mean, and just and taking to Twitter or Instagram or wherever they post on social media and not holding anything back. And generally with baseball, you get a lot of, you know, technical speak, you know, you get a lot of the generic sports lingo or sports talk. But with now, it's like they're legit ripping into these guys and it's turning into the NBA, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. And again, it's a good thing, but, you know, maybe it is a bad thing as well, because these games could get pretty heated. They could get pretty out of hand very easily.
Yeah, and the one thing that strikes me about all that is I feel the most vocal people about this have been pitchers. You've seen Trevor Bauer, Mike Clevinger, Marcus Stroman, Chris Archer. It's been mostly pitchers who have been most vocal about it, and that makes so much sense, because they're the ones who are kind of getting the short end of the stick here. They're the ones who are having the signs stolen from them. They're the ones who are like, I can't think of a better word right now, but are like the victims of the sign stealing thing. So it's kind of not surprising that they're coming out, but you're right. I mean, maybe memory's not serving me right, but I don't remember players coming out this vehemently against other players back in like the steroid era.
No.
This feels very new.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, that's always been the debate is, you know, was that a deterrence for the long-term success of the game? You know, is it a good thing because it brought so many eyeballs back? I mean, I personally don't care about the steroid usage in the game. I mean, the late 90s was probably, mid to late 90s is probably some of my favorite baseball I ever watched, so I personally really don't care. But with the sign-stealing stuff, you know, what do you think's been the most, like, egregious, like, piece of footage that's come out so far, or the most, like, damning out of everybody? I mean, we've heard the distant banging. I just watched the whole clip of Marcus Stroman facing the Astros a few years ago, and the different clips, you know, illustrated different things going on. But what do you think's been the worst piece of footage that's been out there yet?
I mean, just because it's been the most recent thing out there is the and this kind of feeds back into the conspiracy theories, is the Altuve not wanting his shirt ripped off. Like I said, I don't know what to believe when it comes to that, but it's, you know, connecting the dots there doesn't look good. And like, maybe he really didn't want it ripped off for whatever reason, but like, you know, the fact that nugget was thrown out there, like, oh, you know, they may have had buzzers, and then Altuve didn't want his shirt ripped off, like, and then the video proving like that, like, and I think that's kind of what set everything, like, you know, that's where everything went up, like, into flames the other day, was once that video surfaced. But as far as like what we actually know, the one that stood out to me is was back in November when during the trash can banging, I think it was Farquhar on the White Sox heard it and stepped off the mound and had a conversation. So, like, you know, there are some pitchers who I think might have been cognizant of what was going on during that 2017 season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just was looking at the splits for Jose Altuve, you know, the postseason, the hitting like 470 at home and 140 on the road, and, you know, the absolute, yeah, like, ridiculous power numbers for the Astros when they were playing at home. And, you know, I mean, you're a New York guy. How could we forget the home run off Chapman? You know, so what's kind of like the vibe in New York right now? Is there still, like, is there more of a buzz, you know, that the Yankees and the Yankee fans feel cheated over the loss to the Astros in 2017? Is it more based off of the Mets stuff that we'll get into a little bit? Like, what's kind of the vibe in New York right now?
So it's actually very, like, New York's like a very, like, sort of, you know, obviously Houston's at the center of it all, but, like, New York's felt like the ramifications of it, because Yankee fans feel like they've been cheated. Yankee fans are ticked off, like, they want some sort of, like, retribution or something. Like, they feel like they've had at least one, maybe two World Series take from them. The Mets also find themselves in it because Carlos Beltran was supposed to be, you know, turning a new page. Like, you know, there were some promising things that happened with the Mets last year. Now they got the new manager in, and, you know, things were looking, you know, pretty optimistic. And he doesn't even get the chance to manage a game because, you know, at the time when he was hired, I think it was before Mike Fiers, you know, the report in The Athletic came out. Beltran was hired before all that happened. So I don't even know if the Mets really knew what they were getting themselves into when they hired Beltran. And it's kind of all blown up in their faces. So there's a lot of Mets fans kind of upset about the thing. And I think a lot of Mets fans think Beltran, I mean, you're a Mets fan. I think, most Mets fans feel Beltran kind of got, you know, he should not have lost his job over this.
Yes. Yeah. No, he should not have. And I do think, you know, if you want to break it down and say, okay, well, the report did name him and he's no longer a player. There's real weird feeling about that, because in one instance I'm saying, okay, yeah, well, he's a cheater, and he got nailed for cheating, but, you know, he should be exonerated. I just don't like the way it was done. I think the Mets could have handled basically that press conference that they had, but including him and his comments in it saying he's staying. I didn't think they needed to be so, you know, not quick to pull the plug, because you know how it is. I mean, they probably pulled the plug and told him, we're going to let you save face here and you can step down. I think it would have been a distraction, maybe the first couple of road trips or maybe the first game into a new city. Each time it might have come up, but I don't think it would have had the lingering effects that they were maybe anticipating. But now I feel like it's going to. And now everywhere the Mets go for the whole season, it's going to be the questions about Beltran being fired. And the Mets, you know, and yes, I'm a Mets fan. And guess what? We step in it all the time. They're going to walk into a worse situation now than they had by not being participants in this whole entire scandal. They might almost be in as bad a position as these Astros players were and these idiots like Bregman the other day in that press conference that they held.
Yeah, the Mets didn't even cheat, and they get screwed somehow out of this.
Yeah, maybe the Mets were like, okay, you know, they stopped the installation of the cameras right now.
Yeah, but I think they were kind of backed in the corner. I think once the Red Sox, I mean, Cora is still under investigation by MLB, and the Red Sox kind of got out in front of it and fired him, and I think that kind of backed the Mets into a corner.
Yeah,
and I felt like they. And I don't know, I mean, if maybe something will come out later down the line, but it seems to me that Carlos Beltran probably felt like he had to step down.
Right.
That's what it feels like to me, that maybe the Mets didn't want to do it, and he kind of was like, I'll fall on the sword here. Like, it's like, you know, he's like, this is just too much of a distraction. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll find out more details of how that went down at some point during the season. But another thing I was wondering too, before they even fired him or parted ways, whatever the, you know, correct terminology we're using here is, you know, I feel like we're still going to find out more about the how in depth their sign stealing was, how elaborate the scheme was, and who else was involved. I still feel like there's more information to come out. And if it's the middle of May and, you know, you find out more about Beltran's role in it, then, you know, now you got to deal with that on top of like whatever else is going on with the Mets in the middle of the season. So I do feel like there will be more to come out during the season.
Yeah, there's got to be if it was that quick of a move. And you know, people were ripping the Mets for taking 3-4 days. You can't just come out and that next day and be like, yeah, he's gone. That makes him look worse. That makes you look just as bad that you're trying to cut your losses. I think they did do the right thing and wait a few days to kind of get the rest of the information, because I believe it was about a 10-day difference from when they did hire Beltran to when that Mike Fire story came out. So, look, you know, I'm sure, especially with the Mets GM, Brody Van Wagenen, and his relationship to A.J. Hinch, like there must have been some kind of dialogue somewhere that maybe some stuff may come out at some point that obviously will probably never be privy to that information. But how do you kind of approach the other coaches on the staff and other players that may be looking at managers' jobs? Beltran didn't get to manage a game. He's out. Now you got guys like a Brian McCann who was on that team who may be up for a job in the next couple of years. Other guys who were on that staff in 2017 are up for jobs presently, at least on the list that everybody's been kind of, you know, floating about. Where do you kind of fall in that argument? Do those guys get a should they get an opportunity, or should they fall into the Carlos Beltran bin?
Yeah, that's the one thing that I really can't put my finger on is if we're saying Beltran can't manage a team, what does that mean for everyone else? That was, are we saying anyone who played on the 2017 Astros can't hold a job in Major League Baseball as a coach or in a front office or whatever it may be? I mean, that seems a little, you know, ridiculous to me. And, you know, I don't know. I think they should be able to get a chance. I feel like, I mean, look at what happened with, I mean, I feel like the perfect example to look at as far as like a redemption story is Alex Rodriguez. This guy was the most hated man in baseball 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone loves him now. And even toward the end of his playing days with the Yankees, the fans finally came around and embraced him and loved him. I think, you know, barring any sort of, you know, anything more crazy coming out, I do think guys like Hinch and Beltran will get a second chance. Cora, I'm a little less certain, because not only did he devise a scheme with the Astros, but now he's also being investigated for doing some stuff with the Red Sox. The fact that he was doing things with two different teams, I feel like may tarnish him. I feel like he's going to be tarnished the worst out of everyone involved here. But I do think, you know, I do think the players on the team who should be able to at some point get a chance to coach, and I do think Beltran and Hinch will at some point get second chances too.
Just so surreal, you know, a couple weeks out from spring training that, yeah, a team like the Mets, like you said, had a lot of promise, a lot of great things on paper going into the season, which they still have outside of, you know, somebody at the helm. You know, it's just amazing to see that now they're back at the managerial search. And, you know, as a fan, it's frustrating. As a baseball observer, it's like, geez, like, you know, now you're legit pulling a guy who may or may not be in the system. If it's an outsider, now you got to bring him in and kind of work him into all your coaches and whatever. You hire from within, you know, does that create any kind of hostile environment to other guys who would have been considered and didn't get the job? And again, just like we said before, they find themselves in almost as bad a position as the Astros or the Red Sox by being, you know, like innocent bystanders here. And now we're sitting here 3 weeks out from spring training and there's no manager. And that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you know, Hinch wasn't going to like MLB suspended Hinch for a year. Cora is probably going to get suspended for a year, maybe more. Like, the Red Sox and Astros need to find managers to kind of, at very least, you know, bridge the gap. We need someone who could just, like, you know, oversee the ship for a year and then we'll figure it out. The Mets, you know, Beltran wasn't suspended by baseball. Like, they're kind of in this, like, weird situation where, like, you know, they didn't need to fire him, so now, like, but it was kind of just more like public pressure caused it. So now it's like Beltran was supposed to be the long-term answer here. Now we got to find, do we try and find someone else who could like be the manager of this team for a couple of years? Do we just hire someone internally to like get us through the 2020 season? Then we do it all again next year. It's like a very like odd predicament for the Mets to be in it. And, you know, I do understand the idea of going with someone internally, maybe hiring the promoting bench coach like Hensley Mullins, just because the coaching staff that's in place now has been there throughout the whole
right.
offseason.
Right.
They probably have had conversations and met the players. They know everything going on in the front office. So I do think there's an advantage of hiring someone internally. I'm surprised more people haven't advocated for Terry Collins just because he is someone with managerial experience. I don't know if maybe Terry doesn't want the job. It would kind of be a little awkward to go back to him. But, yeah, I do think there are advantages of sticking with someone internally, though, to replace Beltran.
Hey, that never stopped George Steinbrenner from going back to a manager.
Yeah.
As awkward as it could be. My personal hope would be that it is Terry Collins, because at least he can right the ship with guys he has managed before. There's a comfort level. He never left the team, so he's still kind of worked into the system since he stepped down a few years ago. He seems like he would be the good, you know, kind of like bridging the gap to whoever the next person would be, who could very well be a guy like a Luis Rojas or a Tony DeFrancesca. You know, there's definitely guys they have internally, and I agree they got to stick internally because they were in meetings last week. You know, Beltran was in Port St. Lucie meeting with the coaches and going over stuff already. So it kind of makes sense. Keep somebody in the comfort zone. But that's, like I said, maybe that creates a bad blood. So that's why Terry, to me, is the best guy for the job, just for 1 year. And, you know, maybe that's all they needed. Maybe get back to the World Series with Terry, you know, win that World Series, see him off into the sunset, and all's well that ends well. But how about, give me a prediction here. Red Sox and Astros, where do you see some of these other managerial candidates landing?
You know, I feel like the Red Sox and Astros, I feel like, are looking outside, which kind of surprises me, at least with the Astros, because I feel like their bench coach, Espada, he interviewed for a lot of jobs in the offseason. I feel like he might be like the next lower level or bench coach to be promoted to manager. I feel like his name's been out there a lot. So I was surprised I haven't heard much from him. I think you're going to see, I feel like Bruce Bochy, he's been connected to the Red Sox. I think, I'd say Bochy to the Red Sox, Showalter to Houston.
Hmm.
How's that?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that Dusty Baker clip that was floating around on Sunday, that was very telling. It looks like Dusty's he's ready to settle into Houston if they'll have him, because he seemed pretty pretty adamant.
Yeah,
he's
another one, I feel. And all three of those guys, I feel like everyone's kind of moved to the new, analytical managers, younger guys, who are, they're kind of like the spokesperson for the team, and they just make sure, the players are in the right mindset. That's kind of what, the new age manager does. And, Showalter, Bochy, Dusty Baker, they're all kind of old school managers, but at least they, you're bringing them in a very, bizarre situation. At least they have that managerial experience to fall back on. And like I said, they could just be there for the year. And it's like, let's just bring in someone who, at least knows what they're doing.
Right.
And get through this season.
Yeah, somebody who could clean up a mess and knows how to react
yeah.
to it. Somebody who can come in with 3 weeks to go on a spring training and be like, all right, look, this is what we got to do. This is what we have to say. This is where we're going to be. And, in 8-9 weeks, whenever opening day is, it's like, all right, they're just right back in the comfort zone. So I think it has to be the veterans across the board. But give them a year. You know, a guy like Bochy, who went on a very, promoted retirement tour, maybe all he wants is one more year. You go to an iconic franchise like the Red Sox, win a World Series there, and now your legacy is even more cemented. Or you can go the Bobby Valentine route and just completely implode and have it be a horrible decision that everybody kind of laughs at in retrospect.
Yeah.
Well, all right, John, before we get into the wrap-up here, I've always enjoyed chatting baseball with you. You're a very good baseball fan. Kind of tell us a little bit about what you do and tell us about, where you're at these days.
Yeah, so right now I'm a senior content producer at Radio.com. I'm sure, any New York sports fan listener knows Mike Francesa. It can now be listened to on Radio.com. So we have a bunch of podcasts and shows, and I kind of work on the more editorial side of things where we're trying to grow. So as a content producer, I'm writing stories, and Radio.com is our national brand. So I'm writing stories at, for like a national level, like for instance, like, you know, five managers who should, you know, who the Red Sox should hire. And then also as a content producer at the senior level, I'm also kind of devising like the strategy and kind of taking on an editor role. So, doing that. And then the stories, they don't only just show up on radio.com, but we syndicate them to all the, stations we own. So if it's, you know, if it involves the Yankees or Mets, you may see one of my stories on WFAN. If it involves the Red Sox, WEEI. So we syndicate stories out to the other stations that Entercom owns. So that's kind of what I've been doing lately. Obviously, my background is from, you know, being at the Daily News and, you know, covering sports, you know, as a general assignment reporter for them there. And I did a little bit of work with SNY, kind of in that same like producer role and writing stories for their website. So yeah, that's where I'm at now. So
Daily News, they still do sports. They still, they still making newspapers these days.
it came to a very unceremonious end for a lot of us there. And they're still keeping the treading water, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just as being very far away from the New York sports scene, but trying to stay as much as I can tapped into it down here in Virginia, it's such a shame to see what's become of, you know, the Daily News and some of that stuff. It, just things that you would look forward to growing up. You know, Sunday Daily News was hard to be topped, especially all the sports coverage. So, you know, it's great to see where you're headed in your career. And obviously, as these different mediums grow, you know, there's just more opportunity. So best to you. And like I said, I've probably known this kid since he's like 2 years old. So, you know, if you do get too famous, I will have to come out with some of that dirt. You don't know that's out there, John. I mean, I know people. I know, though, that I know people. So, look, I really am happy to see where you've gone so far, and only the best for you in the future. And I appreciate you coming on here on Diamond Conversations. So before I let you go, share with the listeners where they can find you and if they want to reach out and touch you.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is JP Healy. You know, radio.com sports is where my stories are at. And yeah, that's the best way to find my work and see my opinions. I'm pretty facetious on Twitter a lot, so you know, I've kind of embraced the snarky journalist persona on Twitter.
Snarky journalist, go. Who wins more games this year, Mets or Yankees?
Yankees.
Wrong answer. We're gonna cut that interview right there. But John, no, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, and I will catch you soon, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. That was fun.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop.